The book of Revelation, please, if you have a Bible with you. Revelation and chapter number 1. The book of Revelation and chapter number 1. That's the last book in your Bible. So if you just flip right back to the end of your Bible in your hands and go to chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. We're just going to take one text of Scripture here in this chapter, and then we're going to move to another one, Revelation chapter number 1. And just notice with me verse number 18. This identifies the speaker that is speaking in this portion of the Word of God. It is indeed the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ that we have just been hearing about, clearly given to us. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I want you to notice that, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Just notice that statement again. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Over to chapter number 3, please. Chapter number 3 of the same book, Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to read at verse number 20. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. That's really an old expression of having a meal with. Have a meal with him and he with me. We'll read that text together again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I find it very, very interesting whenever it comes to the book of Revelation that the person identified as the speaker in the first few verses, the first few chapters of this book is the risen Christ that we have just been hearing so clearly preached unto us, the one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, he arose again. These are the words of the living Christ. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, I would put no trust. I would put no dependence on a man who died and who's buried in a tomb. But I would put my trust in a man who died and was buried in a tomb and who rose again the third day. You see, my friend, that changes everything. Whenever it comes to the message of the gospel, the message that we preach from the Word of God, we are not preaching just a Savior who died. We are preaching a Savior who is alive. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, look, I am alive forevermore. My friend, listen, you can trust the risen Christ. He has the power. He has the ability to save you from your sins. You say, well, why did you read then, Tim, from Revelation chapter number 3? The context of Revelation chapter number 3, the Lord Jesus, of course, is the speaker. And he is speaking to local churches, local assemblies, Christians that were gathered unto his name. And there were problems in some of these churches. And so the Lord Jesus, as the risen Christ, is speaking with all of his authority as the one who is the Lord of the churches. And he is speaking and he is communicating his word to them. The problem in this place, Laodicea, to which the Lord Jesus was addressing, was desperate. There were people in this church who were not saved. Some of them had come into the company and they had mingled about, and there were some who were saved and there were some who were unsaved, and they were gathered together. And the Lord Jesus on this occasion, as he begins to speak to this church, he gives this address, this very clear statement. It is a statement of invitation. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, these are words that are pertinent for any Christian, because as a Christian, I know what it is to get away from the Lord. I know what it is to have times in my experience when the warmth of my relationship with my Lord is not what it ought to be. And Christians can lose communion with the Lord. And to Christians who have lost communion with the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Thank God for the gospel that warms the heart of every Christian and draws us back to the man who loved us and gave himself for us. Love to hear the gospel. It reminds me of the grace of God. It reminds me of the matchless love of God for a sinner like me. But I want to take this text tonight because as it was used in this context to speak with the saved and to speak to the unsaved, there are people tonight in this meeting and you don't know the Savior. You've never had a moment in your experience when you trusted Christ. Right now you're in your sins. Right now you're in eternal danger. You're in danger, friend, of losing your soul. We live in perilous days. This chart behind me is really a roadmap taken from truth that is found in the Word of God, and that is why you will find Bible references scattered throughout this chart. They're all references that can be found in the Word of God. There is a reality that is before every one of us. It's the reality of death. The Savior stands because of the urgency of the message of the gospel. The Savior stands and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you know why it's urgent? Because death is a reality. Every single one of us, on one of these occasions, one of these days, we will pass from time into eternity, and it could be by way of death. But there's something else about to take place. The Lord Jesus promised in John chapter 4:14, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He was speaking to his own. He was reminding his own that while he has gone away, he has gone to heaven. He is returning. And so the Lord is coming again. And that is referenced right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13 to verse number 18. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Well, I think that is a marvelous thing for every Christian. He's coming to receive us unto himself. That those of us who are saved, we will not go through the period of tribulation that is found in the Word of God. The 7 years of tribulation outlined in the book of Revelation. Awful things will take place. The day of the Lord comes. The Christians who are saved will be called and will be at home with the Lord in glory. In this world, people that sat and listened to the gospel, you know what 2 Thessalonians says, chapter number 2? God will send a lie, strong delusion. They will believe a lie. God will send them delusion, strong delusion. They will believe a lie. And people who have rejected the gospel, they'll perish. They'll face the judgment of God upon earth. They'll face the judgment of God for eternity. You see, there's an urgency whenever it comes to the message of the gospel. That's why the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now let me ask the question, what door is this? What door is in view? There are many doors whenever it comes to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, this reference on the chart, the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, or she shall be saved. You know what the Lord Jesus was saying? I am the door to heaven. If you want to be saved from your sins, I am the door to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. If there was 7 different ways to get to heaven tonight, it would be my brother Marcus's and I our responsibility to stand before you and tell you those 7 ways to heaven. But there's only one way. And the Lord Jesus is that way. He is the only door. So the Lord Jesus, he spoke about heaven's door. Now, there is another reference to a door in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. When Paul was writing to those Christians, he said that there is a door that is open. The gospel is going forth in a place called Ephesus. And Paul is saying there's a door that is open. That's not heaven's door. That's really the door of the herald. The gospel is going forth. And thank God right here in O'Leary tonight, there is a door that is open. There is an opportunity whereby we have to stand before you and tell you about the Savior. Salvation is available for you. But what is the door the Lord Jesus is referring to here? It's not heaven's door. And it's not the herald's door. It's your heart's door. It's your heart's door. The Lord Jesus tonight is standing at your heart's door. Listen to what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, what is the heart's door a reference to? Is the heart's door a reference to our intellect? No. The heart's door is not a reference to our intellect. Mind you, whenever we preach the gospel, people have to use their mind. We hope whenever you sit and listen to the gospel, you are thinking about these things that are real. We hope you are thinking about the problem of your sin. We hope you are thinking about the judgment of God because of your sin. We hope you are thinking. But that's not the heart's door. The heart's door isn't the intellect. The heart's door is not our emotion. Mind you, sometimes whenever the gospel reaches the heart, it touches the emotion. That's why sometimes you see people as they hear the gospel, and their sin becomes real to them. And sometimes there are tears. Sometimes people physically begin to shake. Emotionally, they are shaken because of the gospel. But that's not the door that's here. You know the door that is here? The heart's door? The heart in the Word of God always speaks about the will. It always speaks about a choice that must be made. You see, that's your heart's door tonight, my friend. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Did you know that the gospel that you listen to demands a response? The gospel that you're listening to demands a response. You say, Tim, can you prove that from the Bible? I certainly can. You know what John chapter 3, verse 16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what is it that sinners have to do in John chapter 3, verse 16? Believe in him. We don't have to go back to school. And some here who are in school, we're on summer vacation. Maybe we don't want to think about school right now. But we go back to those school days and we learn that believing is an action word. The Word of God, the gospel, demands a response. You know what Romans chapter number 10, verse 13 says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling is a response to the message of the gospel. Could I ask you tonight, have you ever trusted the Savior? Could I ask you tonight, have you ever called out for salvation? The gospel demands a response. And the Savior stands at your heart's door tonight, and he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He is knocking on your heart's door. One of the things that impresses me whenever it comes to this text of Scripture is really the plea of the Savior. The plea of the Savior. Maybe there's people tonight in this meeting, you're distracted. The Lord Jesus interrupts. He says, behold, look. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is a plea, and the Savior is pleading with sinners. Could you not see, friend, the compassion? Do you not see, friend, the very heart of a God of infinite love? As he sees sinners in all their need, they're on the way to eternal ruin. You're on the way to hell. We say that tenderly tonight. The Savior says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Savior is pleading. He is pleading because he has an interest. He has an interest in your soul. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Savior is pleading. He's pleading because of his interest. His interest in your soul. But you know, it's also a plea of interruption. Sometimes we get so occupied with our life. We get so occupied with the here and now. And sometimes we're thinking, even while we sit in a gospel meeting like this, we're thinking about what we're going to do after the meeting. And we're thinking about our week's plans next week or this week. We're thinking what we're going to do tomorrow and the next day. And our minds get cluttered with all these things. And amidst all the scheduling and amidst all the planning, the Lord Jesus says, behold, it's a plea of interruption. Do you know why he wants to interrupt your heart, interrupt your plans? Because he wants to save you from your sins. I was thinking today, I was just telling my wife, I came across a story. I was over in Halifax a few years back for gospel meetings. And while I was there, I was in the home of a couple. They were Christians, a part of the local assembly over there in Halifax. And I sat in their home. And one of the things that I appreciate about going into Christians' homes is just hearing how the gospel reached them, how God moved in salvation. Madeline Walsh from Newfoundland, Centerville, she was doing school. I think it was in St. John's, and she had a little bit of a break, a little bit of reprieve. So she came back home to Centerville. She had no contact with the gospel before, never heard the message. Not the way that you're hearing it tonight. She'd never heard it before. And there were two gospel preachers, pitched a tent, began to preach. Bert Joyce, my grandfather, was one of those men, and the other man was Gaius Goff. And they were having gospel meetings, and they began to go door to door in Centerville. And as they knocked on the door, they began to invite people to come to the gospel meeting. And sure enough, they came to the door of Madeline Walsh. Well, she was away then, Madeline Way. Knocked on the door, and Madeline's mother answered the door, and they agreed to go to the gospel meeting. And so they went. They went and they listened to the gospel. Never heard anything like it before. They heard about sin. They heard about coming judgment. They heard about eternity. They heard about the Lord Jesus. And Madeline left that gospel meeting and she was troubled. Let me just stop for a minute. Anyone in this gospel meeting troubled? Anyone in this gospel meeting and over the last week, you couldn't get the problem of your sin out of your mind? Maybe tonight as you're listening to the gospel, you just can't seem to put it out of your mind. You try everything to distract yourself, but you're just thinking about my sin. Oh, the darkness of my sin. Madeline came home and Madeline stopped and she talked to her mother. And she said, Mom, want to go to the gospel meeting again tomorrow night? Madeline's mother said, no, I'm not going to go. Madeline said, I'm going. Madeline went again. She listened to the gospel. And the gospel had the same effect it had the night before. Madeline was troubled in her sins, and she wanted to be saved. How can I have what these men are preaching? How can I have the salvation that comes from God and through Christ? How can I have it? Madeline came home that night. Her mother had gone to bed. Her other siblings had gone to bed. Madeline opened up the Word of God. Where do you think Madeline began to read? Revelation chapter 1. Of all places for a sinner to read, she read in the most difficult book. She began to read Revelation chapter 1. She read through that chapter. She got nothing. She read through chapter number 2, and she got nowhere. She started to read chapter 13, and she came to verse number 19, and she stopped reading. She put down her Bible, and she fell on her knees. And she said, oh God, I'm lost. I want to be saved. I'm troubled in my sins. I don't want to be in hell. Show me, Lord, how can I be saved? She got off her knees and she picked up her Bible. Let me tell you, friend, about divine intervention. These were the words that Madeline read. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. By her bedside, Madeline trusted Christ as her Savior. Could I tell you, friend, tonight? Salvation's a real thing. It's a grand thing to be saved. I go back to the night in my experience, just a boy of 7, sitting, listening to a gospel like this, bothered in my sins. How can I be saved? I said, oh, Lord, save me. I can't save myself. I'll perish in my sins forever. And that's what I deserve. You know what I came to understand that night? The Savior was knocking at my door. Could I tell you, friend, the Savior's knocking on your door? You know what I understood that night? Jesus died for me. He came for a sinner like me. And I just rested upon what God said in His Word. But I asked you tonight, have you ever let the Savior in? Come on now. It's a choice. It's a choice that every soul must make. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The plea of the Savior. But not just the plea of the Savior. There is something else here. It's the patience of the Savior. Behold, I stand and knock. Might not be apparent in our translation of the Bible, but literally the idea is, behold, I am standing. I am presently standing and persistently standing at your door and knocking. Let me ask you, how long has He been knocking on your heart's door? How long have you been listening to the message of the gospel? Still in your sins. The Savior's knocking. There's a picture, a painting. I'm not sure it came from maybe the 1800s or so. It was called The Light of the World. Some may be familiar with that painting. It was an old painting. It was actually called The Sermon in the Frame. Sermon in the Frame. It was a painting that was really, really done as a result of this text of Scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It had a door of a house. And on the outside of the door, there was a gentleman who was knocking on the door. In his hand, he was holding a lantern. Of course, the artist was trying to depict the person of the Lord Jesus who is knocking on the heart's door. There are a number of things in that frame. Thousands flocked to see it. In fact, they say, they claim that it was actually more popular than the Mona Lisa in its day. People flocked to see it. One of the things that I find intriguing about that painting, you can look it up on Google, is number one, the door doesn't have a handle. No doorknob on the outside. That's your heart's door. The Savior knocks, but He's not going to push Himself in. Hope you know that. The Savior will not push anyone into salvation. It is a willing choice that is made. But He's knocking. The lantern in the Savior's hand really expresses that it's a scene of darkness. Sinners are in the dark, and they need light from heaven. There's another thing that I find interesting about that door, about that lovely portrait. It's all around the door, there are weeds that had grown, branches and bushes. And the hinges are rusty. You know what really tells me? So you look at that painting. That artist tried to depict something about the patience of the Savior that knocks. He's patient. He's patiently knocking on your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. My friend, He's knocking tonight. Let me ask you. How much longer do you think He'll knock? How much longer do you think He'll knock? There are children tonight in this gospel meeting, and maybe you're thinking in your own mind, I have lots of time. I'll get salvation by and by. And yet the reality of it is this, is that you might not have tomorrow. As true as that is for the young people here, could I speak to some of the older ones here tonight? You've been coming to meetings, maybe wanting to be saved. There's a Savior who wants to save you. And tonight He is patiently knocking. He's knocking on your heart's door. You say, but I need to learn more of the Bible. I don't have it all figured out. Could I tell you, friend? You can sit down and you can try to figure out the gospel, like trying to put together a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. You'll never figure it out. I've been saved for 25 years. Could I tell you? I still haven't figured it out. Why God would ever love me? Why God would ever save me? I just trusted Him, and He saved me from my sins. You could be saved tonight. The patience of the Savior. Behold, I'm standing at the door, knocking, and He's knocking patiently tonight. Ah, friend, won't you let Him in? You know, the next thing that I find here in relation to this text is the possibility of the Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. If any girl hear my voice. If any boy hear my voice. If any woman hear my voice. Really, the Lord Jesus is giving this invitation to every individual. It is not exclusive. It is inclusive. It includes everyone. This is a message for all. Some people, they almost think, well, I got to be one of the elect in order to be saved. Listen, that's not found in the Bible. A person becomes one of the elect the moment they trust Christ as their Savior. Christ has died for all. You don't have to try to wonder, am I one of the elect? No, my friend, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible says this, He gave Himself a ransom for all. Christ has made payment for all mankind. Salvation is available for all. Ah, my friend, this is for you tonight. The great possibility is this. You could leave this gospel meeting saved. You could leave this gospel meeting knowing your sins are all forgiven. You could leave this gospel meeting knowing heaven is your home. You could leave this gospel meeting with the confidence that I will never be in hell. You know what the Bible says? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. That gives tremendous peace when a person puts their head on their pillow at night. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment for me. The great possibility, friends, that you could leave with salvation tonight. The possibility of the Savior, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Really, perhaps one of the difficulties that people have is they don't recognize the man that is knocking. They don't recognize the man that is knocking. Could I tell you, friend, tonight, don't miss the Savior who's knocking. There's a story about a Dr. Lorenz from Australia many years ago. That there was a lady, he was a surgeon, a specialized surgeon, and he was an orthopedic surgeon, and he dealt with certain muscular problems and whatnot. And there was a lady in Chicago, he was a specialized doctor, and she had tried everything with her daughter who had an issue. And none of the doctors seemed to have been able to figure out the problem. And so she sent a note to Dr. Lorenz in Australia and called for him to come over to Chicago. She said, I'd pay the fare. I'll pay all the expenses. She was a very wealthy woman. And sure enough, Dr. Lorenz accepted, I'll come to Chicago. He came, the expense of this woman. And he performed the surgery on her daughter. And the surgery went well, and the problem was fixed. And while Dr. Lorenz was in Chicago in the United States of America, he said, I'll receive patients free of charge. If anyone has any issues of this particular nature, I will receive them. And people began to come to him. And he began to perform the surgery. Dr. Lorenz was so busy that one night he just wanted a little bit of rest time. So he left. He left the hospital where he was performing the surgeries. And he went for a walk through the streets of Chicago. And while Dr. Lorenz was going through the streets of Chicago, all of a sudden there was just a major thunderstorm. The rain began to fall. And Dr. Lorenz, he sought shelter in a home. And so he came to a certain house and he knocked on the door. And after he knocked on the door for so long, the door opened. And there was a woman who answered the door, mother. A mother of a young girl who had this muscular problem. And this woman had tried to get in touch with Dr. Lorenz time and time again to come to her home to help her daughter. And she looked at the man who was out in the rain. He said, "What is it, sir?" He said, "Could I come in? Could I come in just until the rain ceases?" She looked at him and she said, "Sir, there's enough problems in here already. You go your way. You go your way." And the door was shut. And Dr. Lorenz went his way, standing out in the rain. The next morning, that woman received the newspaper. And on the front page of that newspaper was a picture of Dr. Lorenz. And she said, "Oh, if I had only recognized the man who stood on the outside of my door, I would have let him in." You see, there was a failure to recognize the man who was knocking. Could I tell you, friend, tonight, it's not the O'Leary Gospel Hall that's knocking on your heart's door tonight. It's not Marcus McKenzie who is knocking on your heart's door tonight. It's not Tim Burton who is trying to knock on your heart's door tonight. Listen, these are the words of the risen Christ. "Behold, I am alive forevermore. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Oh, the great possibility of the Savior. Listen, friend, tonight, you turn and trust the Savior. Listen to the words of promise. "I will come into him and will sup with him." Fellowship, have meal, company with him, and he with me. Could I tell you, perhaps one of the things that we fail to convey sometimes as we preach the gospel is just how wonderful God's salvation is. Could I tell you tonight, friend, you're not saved. You're missing out on the greatest thing in life. Could I tell you, if you're not saved, you're missing out on the greatest thing in eternity. Because tonight you could enter into a relationship with the Lord of life and glory. You could enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, shed his precious blood, the one who was raised from the dead. You trust in him, and you could know your sins are forgiven. You could know the great promise that all is well for eternity. He's knocking on your heart's door tonight, friend. Let him in. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do appreciate, Father, the privilege of being able to share the message of the gospel with those who are lost and perishing in their sins. And we pray tonight, Father, that there would be those in this meeting who would turn and trust the Savior, that they would recognize the heavenly visitor that is knocking on their door. We're thankful, Father, that we heard so clearly spoken the first part of this meeting of the resurrection of Christ. We're thankful, Father, that this is the one who was dead. And he said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." We appreciate the Savior. Draw near and bless thy word. Now we would ask of thee, part us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, we ask of thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.